You are listening to From the Midwest to the Middle East, the latest on U.S. tax, Israeli economy, and lots of in-between. Interviewing Israeli and international experts.
Chicago, Chicago.
Welcome to our podcast. I am Philip Stein, Chicago, president of Philip Stein & Associates. I will show
you around. Hi, I'm very happy today to have Merit Reif as my guest. We're going to talk about a new topic, something that I haven't covered in the past, but something that I think is very relevant to my listeners. But let me first introduce Merit. Merit works as a lawyer at Hakohen Wolf Law Offices. She deals mainly with property transactions, contracts, and she is part of the marketing team assisting sellers, buyers, and new Olim. Previously, Merit worked at JMB Factor & Company, a law firm in Har HaTzvim dealing with international patents and PCTs. She handled clients' IP portfolios and was the head of the U.S. division in the firm. Good morning, Merit. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, how are you?
Great. So we're going to talk a little about, life is constantly changing in Israel, and real estate, that was one of the areas that really had been, seemed to be untouched for many years, but at the end of last year, the Knesset and the Treasury made some really, I think, significant changes of how real estate is going to be taxed going forward, meaning from 2014 on, and that's what I'd like to talk to you about today. So let me go to my first question. Israel recently introduced major changes on how gains from residential real estate will be taxed. Can you give our listeners a general overview?
Okay, well, I hope everybody's sitting down because it's going to be a very long general overview. There's two kinds of taxes when one buys or one does a transaction of real estate. There's capital gain tax for the person who's selling it, and there's acquisition tax or purchase tax for the person who purchases the real estate.
Mm-hmm.
There have been changes for both of these taxes. So I'm going to start with the capital gain tax. Up until December 31st, 2013, anybody who owned a residential home in Israel could sell a home once every 4 years and get an exemption from capital gain tax, which was quite a significant amount of money. Of course, there were some certain conditions that you had to fulfill, but mainly a lot of people use this 1-in-4 exemption. As of January 1st, 2014, this exemption no longer exists. There's only an exemption for selling a single home, and I will go through the terms of this exemption. So if you want to be exempt from capital gain tax, you have to follow these conditions. First of all, the home that you're selling is the only residential property you own. And I'm just going to go into brackets about what the significant date for owning a single home is. For this transition period, as they call it, January 1st, 2014 till 31st of December 2017, you are considered as owning a residential home, a single residential home, only if you went into this transition period owning a single residential home. Beginning January 1st, 2018, the date considering you be only owning a single home will be the actual date of the sale. And that's actually very important to know for this period of time that we're discussing. So that was one of the conditions. If the home that you're selling is the only residential home you own at this time. The other condition you have to meet is that you have ownership of the home for at least 18 months, including after receiving Tofus Alba, 18 months. The third condition is that the exemption was not used for a period of 18 months prior to the sale. The fourth condition is that the value of the home is up to 4.5 million shekels, which is also a new thing. Up until now, there wasn't a limit to how much the home is valued. Now there is a limit to how much the home is valued, which means if you are selling a home which is valued above 4.5 million, you will be taxed on the additional amounts. And we'll get into that a little bit later. The final condition is that you have to sell at least a third of a home. Anything less is not considered valid for this exemption.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got a lot of panicky phone calls at the end of last year when these new rules were introduced, and there were people feeling that they had to sell right now, or they had to sell before January 1st, 2014, or they would be hit by taxes. Now, you did refer that there's some transitional rules here. Where were people mistaken in thinking that they had to sell before the end of the year?
Well, people can still sell their homes. The capital gain tax is a little bit changed, and I'll get into that in a few seconds, but I just wanted to mention that you can still, up until 2014, as I said, you can sell a home once every 4 years. This does not apply anymore. So yes, people were right to be a little bit panicky if they at the moment own more than one home and want to sell it. They might be entitled to sell it with a very low capital gain tax, which at the moment is called shiur mas mutav, or let's call it betterment tax. But in order to be able to sell it with this betterment tax, there'll be also conditions that they have to meet. I can go through them if you want very quickly.
Okay, that would be helpful, I think.
Okay. The idea of betterment tax is that for houses sold, at the moment I just want to talk about the transition period between 1st 2014 and 31st 12 2017. What they do is the actual profit after all expenses and costs for the purchase and the sale are taken into account, earned on the home up to January 1st 2014, there'll be zero tax owed. From that period until the sale itself, the tax will be 25% of the actual profit made during that period only. So if we're talking today, March 19th, and you're selling a house, so you're actually going to be taxed on the 25% of the profit, of the actual profit the house made between 1st 2014 and March 19th, 2014, which won't be very much.
So if someone's owned this property for a long time, that's going to be quite insignificant.
Correct. But there's a very big but here. The ITA does not give freebies, as we all know. So there are conditions that you're going to have to meet in order to get this betterment tax. The terms are the sale is not to family members, and in just in brackets, I want to emphasize, we can get into it a little bit later, that siblings are now not included as family members, so a sale from one to another is still okay at this point for this betterment tax. The home was not received as a gift before August 1st, 2013, unless you have a waiting period, which you've waited it off, depending on if you live in the house. If you don't live in the house, it's 3 to 4 years. The third term is if you've not sold a home during a four-year period, and this is the term that they go back to what was the old term of the 4 years. Now, I want to state that if you don't meet this last term and you have sold a home during a four-year period, you still will be able to sell at least one house using the betterment tax, and you'll have to wait until the four-year period is met in order to be able to sell another house, because this betterment tax is okay for selling two houses during the transition period. So, coming back to your question, if somebody owns more than one house and wants to sell two houses, he can still try to apply and receive the betterment tax for two houses if he's selling it during this transition period.
Mm-hmm.
Once the transition period is over, starting January 1st, 2018, there is no limit to how many houses you can sell with this betterment tax, and there's also no conditions that you have to meet.
Meaning that everything will be taxable, right?
Exactly. Everything is still taxable. The tax will probably be more because we're talking about a four-year period of tax that will be applied. So they're giving you a present with the fact they're saying, okay, we're still going to tax you, but at least you will be able to sell as many houses you want using this tax form.
Mm-hmm. But people should expect post this transition period, or if they buy and sell during this transition period, that they're going to be paying this 25% tax to Israel, right, on any gain?
Well, on the gain from 2014 onwards, yes.
Right, right. What about buying apartments still in children's names? Is that still a good strategy?
Okay. I will discuss buying children's names. There's just one more thing that I think will actually be very important for people who are foreign residents that they know. That another major change in the law was regarding foreign residents. Foreign residents will always have to pay from now on Israeli capital gain tax when they're selling a home, even if they only own one home in Israel, unless they can prove that they don't own a home in their country of residence, and they need to show proof of that from the official tax authority of their country of residence.
Well, that's a certificate I've never seen in the United States, at least. That'll be an impossible. If they're expecting a form from the IRS, I guess people will just be paying. But again, I've said to people that, it is a creditable tax, so at the end of the day, if they pay here, they won't have anything to pay to Uncle Sam.
Well, it depends. The betterment, you're talking about the betterment tax.
Right, correct.
Correct, but take into account that they have to still stand by the terms that we spoke to unless they're selling it after 2018.
Right, understood. Okay. Okay, back to the question about buying apartments in kids' names.
If you're buying an apartment in your children's name, if they're over 18, there's not a problem, but then you have to take into consideration that once they have an apartment, any apartment they purchase in the future will be considered a second home for tax issues.
Mm-hmm.
And if the child is under 18, it's still counted as part of the family unit, so it's not counted as if it's the child, so you don't gain anything by that.
Gotcha. Okay. So what you're saying, buying the apartment for the kid, it's going to be their primary residence, this still is a good strategy.
Yeah, if he's taking into account that the fact that he might purchase a second one is way down the line, then yes, there's no problem with that.
And if it was bought before the kid was 18, but the kid sells it when they're a young adult, they'll also be entitled to an exemption, correct?
Well, if it's their only home.
If it's their only home. Okay, that's what I'm referring to. Okay. All right, let me go to the other end of the spectrum from buying in kids' names. What if someone inherits an apartment and wants to sell it? Will they have to pay tax in Israel? And I guess this is maybe relevant for both people who live here and, let's say, people who live abroad who inherit a property from a deceased parent.
Well, the reform regarding inheritance hasn't changed. So somebody who inherited from a relative, not including a sibling, will be able to sell it without paying capital gain tax if the person himself was entitled to that exemption before he passed away, meaning if he only had one apartment during that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's very helpful. What if someone sells two properties in the same year under these new rules, post-214, that they've owned for 10 years? Which one gets taxed?
Well, as I mentioned, you can still sell up to two homes during this transition period using the betterment tax rules if they all apply to you.
I see.
So it doesn't really matter if you owned it for 10 years or 20 years. The gift that the ITA sort of gave you was the fact that any profit receipt that was will not be countable tax-wise up till the 1st of 2014. So if you had this apartment for 20 years, I'm assuming your gain is quite large.
Right.
And if you have to, and if that's all washed out, then you've just actually, you're benefiting from this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me go back for a minute. I referred before to foreign residents. We see a lot of people, particularly in the Jerusalem area, that have bought vacation apartments, I'll call them. Let's take someone bought one 20 years ago in the mid-80s. They sell it in 2015 next year. They do have a home in the U.S., I'm speaking now just my practice. What Israeli tax will they pay?
So again, because foreign residents will always have to pay Israeli capital gain tax, especially even if they only own one home in Israel, they might still be able to get some sort of, I'm not going to call it an exemption because it's not an exemption, but they might still be able to be applied through the mas mutav, the betterment tax, if the terms that we spoke to before still apply to them, which means the sale is not to a family member, the home was not received as a gift before the transition period unless they had the waiting period was over, and they they've not sold a home during a four-year period prior to the sale. Just like any other Israeli who's going to try and sell his second home, they just come into that same bracket.
Okay, so just that period, the proportion amount of time from January 1st, 2014 to when they sell in 2015 would be subject to some tax.
If the conditions are met.
Right. Okay, let me just change a little direction. I'll still stay with foreign residents. If a foreign resident has been renting out a property and not paying tax on the rent, is there any program for them to catch up and get back into the system?
Okay, let me just give a quick introductionary to that. In August 2013, the ITA, Israel Tax Authority, launched an enforcement operation to detect tax invaders among the owners of luxury apartments in Tel Aviv. The operation resulted in the findings of hundreds and thousands of shekels of unreported annual income. Many of the apartment owners that were found out were foreign residents who were renting out their apartments without reporting this. Because the operation was so successful, they initiated another one in the middle of November of 2013, this time in Ashdod. So from that I can understand that there's a little bit of a tightening on this area. Now, for your question, can people who have unreported income do something about it? So the answer is yes. They can go through what is called a voluntary disclosure program in Israel, in order to report and pay taxes on their income that derives from Israel, as in their rental income from properties here. But there's some terms that they have to meet, and I'll just state them very quickly. There are five terms. One is that the coming forward is voluntarily done. It's an honest and truthful appeal. It's not a result of any investigation from the ITA agent or another official as of such. There's no Israeli government office that has any prior information about the disclosed information that he's doing through the voluntary disclosure. The Israeli tax authority has not started investigating the matter disclosed. It's not been published in the media, and it's not been disclosed through any court filings, procedures, or papers. If it meets all those terms, then he can apply to go through the voluntary disclosure.
Okay, I'm going to ask one last question, and then I want to ask a follow-up about something you referenced about purchase taxes. But my last question is, what are some tips you might give for someone from abroad who is buying an apartment in Israel for the first time?
Somebody who now is going to buy an apartment in Israel for the first time, take into account that they own an apartment in their country of residency, has to factor in the price, the higher tax brackets of similar to somebody who is buying another residential home in Israel, unless they make aliyah within 2 years of the purchase, in which case they'll be entitled to get their money back for the difference between buying a singular home and buying a second home. They also have to take into consideration that as a foreign resident, when they sell the home, they'll have to pay taxes, capital gains. And in addition, they have to also take into account that any income that they make from this apartment might be subject to tax. So, you know, all is great in coming. We'd rather they just come and live here. Probably just easier.
Okay. Okay, so now let me follow up or finish things up with what you wanted to share about the changes or updates regarding purchase taxes.
Okay, so purchase tax, the tax starting, actually the changes started from August 1st, 2013. There are different tax brackets one is for those purchasing a single home, the other is for those purchasing an additional home. The brackets for an additional home have increased. This applies only to the period of August 1st, 2013 till December 31st, 2014. After that, the tax bracket for additional home was somewhat reduced. So that's just some factor you have to take into account. If you want to purchase during this period of time a house, it might be wise to wait until 2015 because the tax brackets are a little bit lower.
Mm-hmm.
There are additional tax brackets from now on for purchases of above 4.5 million shekels. So there's an 8% and a 10% tax bracket. Those are new. They do not exist beforehand. And as I said, for foreign residents, as we mentioned before, from now on they'll always be taxed under the brackets of additional homes, the same as if somebody who purchased an Israel additional home, unless they make aliyah or become a tashav chozer v'atik within 2 years of the purchase.
Okay. So I'm going to add one other thing, just because you're dealing with these, obviously, from a technical point of view, but what would you share with our listeners as to the real estate market as you see it? Are things continuing just to go up? Are things cooling down?
Well, the idea was really to make more apartments available. That was the idea coming forward from 2013 onwards. I'm not really sure how much that's changed. I think it's a little bit early to know. There's also been something in Globes just yesterday about an idea of for people who are buying a first home and they have kids, that they won't have to pay the ma'am if they buy from a kablan. All these things are trying to push people forward to be able to afford to buy a house. There's also terms for this, you know, for all these gifts that they kibichol are receiving. They have to have done army. They have to have two kids, I think. This is all rather new. The same thing to do with the capital gain tax. The idea with the capital gain tax was so people understand that, you know, owning two homes and is not such a wonderful idea once they want to sell it, in order to push people to sell more houses at the moment so that there will be more houses free for people who want to purchase at least one home for themselves. All this is really pushing forward for people, more people who have more than one house to sell it, so that people who don't have a house at all will be able to buy it. The prices are trying to be more affordable. The taxes The ITA is playing around with this whole tax issue in order to find some sort of space where it will be doable for everybody. But I honestly believe that this is going to be for the better of the good, but I can't tell you as of now because I think it's just too early yet to see.
Okay. All right. So thank you for a very informative discussion, podcast. If my clients or listeners would like to get in touch with you about any of the topics that you discussed, how would they reach out to you, Mirit?
Well, they can call our offices, Hakohen Wolf Law Offices. Our main number is 02-6222-335. They can email me at mirit@hakohenwolf.com. We'll try and answer all their questions.
Very, very good. I appreciate it, and looking forward to, if there's any updates, we'll be turning to you as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast. Feel free to visit us at www.peacestein.com or look for Philip Stein Associates on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Goodbye.